You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
I'm 30.
Not yet.
Well, by the time this is.
That's true. Technically, you were 30 by the time the last episode aired.
Really?
Yeah.
That kind of fucked me up a little bit.
Today, we're going to be talking about the fifth serial of the 16th season of Doctor Who, The Power of Krull!
Don't say it with that much excitement.
That's fair. Which consists of four episodes that aired from December 23rd, 1978 to January 13th, 1979.
It took a whole year. It was a long time. A whole year.
I mean...
A whole year!
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Bisexual Brigadier for purchasing this serial for us and the entire season, the entire Key to Time season.
Thanks, Bisexual Brigadier.
You can follow her on Tumblr at bisexualbrigadier.tumblr.com.
Follow her on Tumblr at mattgolden.tumblr.com.
No.
That's not even Tumblr.
No, it's not. I think Tony's drunk.
Maybe.
So is there anything?
And one singular beer.
By this point, if you guys listening to this, we will have already went to Atlanta, the last one. We cried.
We shed
some tears.
No, I'm not saying anything about what happened in Atlanta. Because the last time we did that was right before we went to Birmingham.
And we had a car stolen from us. You know what? You're right.
So I don't know what happens in the future.
Maybe we should say terrible things happened.
No, I don't want to do that
either. We did not win the lottery.
That's your idea of a terrible thing? Nothing changes?
Well, I mean, we say that and then the opposite happens.
I see.
Anyway, I hope we had fun. Maybe we bumped into some listeners and said hello and hung out.
Yeah, and then we all got waffles. That's what you do with friends.
You get waffles?
You go get waffles.
Where did your friendship etiquette come from? Shrek?
Yes.
Technically, Donkey from Shrek.
In the morning, I'm making waffles. Have you ever not been having a good time while in a Waffle House? No.
I think this is probably the Doctor Who podcast that mentions Shrek the most.
When was the last time we mentioned Shrek?
I was about to say the last time we mentioned Shrek, and I was trying to remember what I made a GIF set of.
Oh, because it was something about the swamp.
It's this cereal. I've already queued up the GIFs and everything.
It's just that this cereal is very Shrekish.
But yeah, we've done Atlanta. Is there anything else we need to talk about? Hopefully some of you guys saw The Unseen World there.
Please watch The Unseen World.
Other than that, I don't think anything's going on in our lives.
No, everything's kind of, like, reached the point where I think maybe it's gonna start leveling out.
Though this weekend...
This weekend was crazy! This weekend I didn't even understand anything that was happening the whole time.
Explain what happened.
Well, Wednesday, it doesn't mean anything because this is airing. But in a couple of days from when we're recording is my 30th birthday. And this weekend was also the first home bout of the North Georgia Roller Girls season. And so
the team that Tony plays for, the roller derby team.
Yeah, this is going to be my second bout, but like the first home bout. And so it was like the first one we were putting on as a team. And like the first one was 5 hours away. Just god awful far. But this was like the first one that people I knew would be going to. And so my parents were going to come out and see it.
Yeah, they were coming down from St. Louis to Chattanooga. Well, the game was in Dalton, but yeah.
But yeah, they were going to come down for the weekend and do stuff for my birthday, and that was really cool. And so Friday, I took a half day, and I met them for lunch, and I see my parents, and I'm hugging my parents, and I'm looking behind them, and there's my friend Annie from high school, and I'm staring, I'm like, that person looks so much like Annie. Why does that person look so much like Annie? And I'm making, like, the dumbest, most fucking confused face at her for, like, a minute. And it's not until she starts laughing that I'm like, it is Annie! Why is Annie here? So I just look at Annie and I go, what the fuck? Which is the first thing that I said to her instead of like, so happy you're here. I just very accusingly said, What the fuck? What are you doing here? She was there, my cousin Dan and his boyfriend. No, are they married? Husband, Juan. Now I'm like really uncertain.
Wait, did you see them at the hotel?
Yeah, I didn't go to the hotel. We went to Food Works.
Oh, I didn't realize they were with you.
Yeah, and so they were there. That's what I said. I was like, oh, that's a nice surprise. Like, they brought more people than I thought. Like, I guess mom probably asked to see if anyone wanted to come down and watch the bout. That's really cool. So then my mom was like, I really want to go skating on Friday because I want to do something fun. And I was like, okay. So we go to the roller rink and, like, my whole family's there. My sister, my brother. I shouldn't say my whole family because my sister Gina couldn't make it. But, yeah, a couple of the people from Derby, a couple other friends.
Your nephew.
My nephew, my little baby nephew. He's so small. And so everyone was over, and then everyone came over to my house and sat out on my porch, and we had a really good time. Everybody gifted me for my birthday,
chairs.
Yeah, little folding chairs, because we didn't have enough to, like, actually host everybody, and so everyone's like, guess what? Happy birthday! And now we have, like, I don't know, 4 folding chairs, which is amazing. Fabulous present.
It was so hard for me, because I knew about all of this. I helped organize this sort of surprise party and got, like, people that were nearby to come, but I had to be, like, so secretive about it. Also, Tony's parents bought the Derby tickets from Tony, but they had to buy the rest of the tickets through me for you. Because there was also a contest for who sold the most tickets.
There's a contest, and you get free dues. And so I was like, I don't know anybody. I'm not going to win. And I'm like, I'm going to sell 2 to my parents, and that's probably going to be it. And I ended up selling...
the most.
Well, I was going to say, I ended up selling myself 6, 7, 8. And then, like, mom bought some for, like, everybody else she brought out with her. And so all that included, I, like, had the most. Which is going to be disappointing next bout when I'm like, none of those people are coming back. Well, my team's going to be like, oh.
I tell you, you got my parents and you got Wanda and her family.
Yeah, they seem to have a really good time.
My cousin Wanda came out. Hey, thanks, Wanda and Beverly.
Yeah. I posted a thing on Facebook that was like, please buy tickets from me. No one's going to come to this thing. And she was like, hang on. I'm going to go talk to some people. And like the next day she was like, all right, I've rounded up a group of people. I need, like, 8 tickets. And I was like, thank you, I'm crying.
And how did the bout go?
The bout went really well. Okay, I mean, I think we got, like, 54 points, and the other team got, like, 350 points.
Oh, sorry.
No.
You got 109 points. You broke the century mark.
So, our team is, like, a brand new team. We've only been operating for a year. So, when I say we got 109 points, and the other team got, like, 350, at the end of the bout, my team was like, yeah! First of all, we didn't die.
Your first bout, you only got like 50-something points, so yeah. You doubled.
We put a lot more points on the board this time. And at the beginning of the game, we played somewhat better defense, somewhat. But part of it is that there's only 4 of us on the team who are the team, and like everybody else is subs.
Right.
And so like you're playing with teams who all practice together, and they have strategies, and we kind of get there, and, like, the subs are like, how do you play? And we're all like, we don't know yet. So, yeah, we got beat really bad, but we were all really proud of how we did.
It's very proud of you. Your family got to see you play.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, oh, man, they're going to come watch me play, and, like, I'm not very good yet.
Now your brother wants to, like, join in, like, yeah. Find a local team to be a part of.
My dad, he was the only person who came up, like, to the bench while the game was going on, well, like, during halftime, and he was like, this is cool, Tony. Yeah.
Good weekend.
And the other team was the Smoky Mountain Roller Girls. They were so sweet, and I loved them. There was one jam where every other person on my team, I think including the jammer, got sent to the penalty box. And I was the only person on my team. I was the only person still on the track. And literally the other team was like, this is the worst. It sucks so bad. We're sorry. We won't hit you. We promise. And like, they were just so nice. Like, don't worry about it. Don't stress out. Like, as we were playing the game, they were saying this. So, like, it was a really, really cool team to play against. And that does not mean that they, you know, win easy on us by any means. It was still a pretty hard game.
That one jammer jumped the apex.
Oh my god, she was amazing! There was one point where she got on the outside that we were, like, walling up. And we're like, okay, we've got this. And we're talking to each other. And we're talking about where she is. And, like, that was all we had time to do. And she had already jumped past us. And we all, like, looked up and went, well?
For those of you who don't know, jumping the apex means, you know, it's a circle. The track is. she would jump the corner.
It's like a tricky thing to corner. It's a scary thing to do, because if you don't land it, like, you can, the way you fall, it could be dangerous. But
not only that, like, you can, like, land outside out of bounds.
Out of bounds, and then have to go all the way back. And she was amazing.
She did it, like, I don't know, 9 or 10 times.
It like, it was nothing, too. Yeah. It was cool. There was a point where she did it, like, right by her bench, and I was like, yeah! And my team kind of looked at me, and I was like, I don't know, man, that was cool. I got excited.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. I had a lot of fun. You had a lot of fun.
I had so much fun.
So let's switch gears now.
All right.
And talk about something that's a lot less fun.
I know. We could just keep talking about, like, my birthday and roller derby, because it's a lot.
Oh, we also saw Avengers?
It's a lot more interesting. Do you want to do a podcast about Avengers?
Avengers Endgame. It was really good.
No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't do any spoilers.
Spoilers. It was good.
Spoilers. We want to talk about it a lot more than we want to talk about this episode.
I was surprised they actually did the Ant-Man ass thing.
Right?
Just exploded, like, it.
But you kind of wonder, like, did they, was that always the plan? Or did they change it?
Due to everybody talking about it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was, like, surprisingly emotional, too. Like, I cried a little?
I don't know how they managed to pull that off, but, like, they really did. This bit's going nowhere. I don't have anything else to attribute to it. Do you?
No. Let's talk about... I'm just stalling for
time. Come on now.
All right. Let's talk about the Power Curl. Is that a more effective way to say the title? Better way
to that's
about?
About the speed it should be.
Power Curl.
Power Curl. We're going to talk about the power crawl.
All right, episode one, which I have two titles for, Swamp Things.
Oh, okay.
And The Call of Krull.
Those are both pretty good.
Thanks. I didn't put a lot of effort into it, much like the people making this cereal.
Now listen.
Yeah.
We got to be fair.
No, we don't.
We do.
Okay.
From what I've read of this, it seems very much like an episode that was put together last minute.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about this for a second. It was a last minute replacement, written by Robert Holmes.
Which we were so excited when we saw his name, and then, like, at the end of the 4 episodes, we were like, no, what happened? And then we looked it up, and...
He was specifically told, cut way back on the humor. No humor, I mean, there's some humor, but, like, cut way back on it, and have the biggest villain Doctor Who has ever fought. And those were, like, his two requirements. And, like, he was like, it was a bad idea.
And those two things were both bad.
So, like, even Robert Holmes doesn't like this serial. There was an actor who was cast in this, or they were talking about casting him, and then they cast someone else instead. And then another character dropped out because they got sick. So they got that first actor to play him instead, this other character.
And oh, really?
And you can clearly tell he does not care. He does not want to be this character.
Because it's not, like, as big of a part. And so he's just, like, grumpy the whole time. Not like he's playing a grumpy character, but, like, he's giving his lines kind of like this.
He doesn't seem to care very much. He's just like, I'm just saying these lines.
Whatever. I had a much better part.
Yeah. So it had a lot going against. No K-9 either, because of reasons. And but that was actually another thing that kind of excited me, is that the guy who plays K-9...
Is in it.
Yeah. As a... Not a human, but, like, a...
An alien. A human type.
He is human-ish. I don't know. I don't know if they came from Earth. I don't know. Because there are the sons of Earth and all that shit, so...
I think they are... They were at some point. It might be, like, Earth. Generations at this point, but...
So that's the first... That's who we see first. We see... We meet these guys who work at...
Oh, God, they have names.
Yeah, I wrote them down.
Okay.
Yeah, I only knew one of them. We meet 4 guys who work at a refinery. We have Thawne, who is going to be our head bad guy.
All right.
He's the... The guy with the angular face and the sideburns. I think he's been on the show before. I'm not sure. We have Finner, who played Solon in Brain of Morbius. Finner is the guy that they cast. He's Philip Maddock, I think is his name. He's been on Doctor Who so many times, and every single time he's been great. He's been amazing. And this is the guy that's like, I don't want to be in this role. Like, he was Solon in Brain of Morbius. He was great in that. The guy that made the...
Frankenstein,
basically. Yeah. He made the monster. He was in the War Games. He was the main bad guy in the War Games, who looked like Steve Jobs. He was in... I forget what other one he was in, but he was also in the Doctor Who, the second Dalek movie. He was the villain in the trench coat, who, like, was eating the scenery. It was great. He's great! He's not in this! Then we have Harg, who just has red hair and is also a red shirt. He's basically there to be the first one to go. We have Dugan. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. That's played by...
That's
K-9. And we have Mitch, who is a green guy. He looks like asparagus or broccoli. What would you say? Not broccoli, because he doesn't have a big fluffy head. He's their servant.
You're talking about the jolly... He's one of the Jolly Green Giants.
Yeah, he looks like an asparagus spear.
No, he looks like a key mascot.
To be fair,
green beans. It's green beans.
To be fair, though, he's wearing the suits like they're wearing, the like silver suits. Because we'll see more of them, and they're like more like tribal attire, I suppose. But he's a servant for them. Guess what, guys?
They never explain his story.
Racism.
Like, why is he over there?
Because they don't treat them like people, and they make them servants.
It's rude.
Do you need more explanation than that? Do you ever watch, like, a movie set in the past, and they're like, why do they have that guy as a servant? They never explain why he's working for them.
I just feel like they wouldn't.
It's called slavery, Tony.
Fuck. What's that? That one comedian who he gets all the juice, and he's just so excited about the juice that he forgot about racism for a minute.
Oh, that was... Hannibal Buress.
He just forgot about racism for a minute.
You forgot about racism.
When I do it, it's called privilege.
So anyway, these are the refinery guys and their servant. They work in a refinery and look at scanners a lot. That's 90% of this fucking serial is them staring at scanners and going, oh, it's doing a thing. And then they expositionize and it's boring. Thawn is worried that the Sons of Earth, which is like this protest group, I suppose.
They don't want people coming into planets and just fucking with the life that lives there just so that they can get minerals and shit.
So they found out that there is somebody coming to the planet whose name is, he's a gun runner named Ramdut. And they think that the Sons of Earth have hired him to give the Swampies weapons for a revolt.
I hate it in sci-fi when somebody says something and you just know that it's a slur. Like, I don't need sci-fi slurs. I don't need them in my life.
My biggest problem is I don't think they ever give a name for them other than Swampies. So I don't even know what to call them.
That's pretty bad.
And I feel awkward about it. There's even a bit where, like, later Thawn will call the Doctor a swampy lover, which makes me feel even more gross. Yeah. This one's about racism, you guys. The TARDIS lands in a swamp, and because of this, K-9 cannot come along because he can't get out. Because
he can't go in water.
I missed that they said something about leaving K-9 behind. I was like, shit, did they just leave him in that boat? They left him in that boat on Terra.
He's just still on the planet Terra.
Just spinning in that boat. Doctor? Master?
Oh, no.
But no, it's fine. There's a little bit of a good bit where the Doctor drops his hat on the ground and throws it to the ground a couple times to test the gravity.
Gravity check.
And then I believe Romana says something like, I think you have something wrong in the head. Something like that.
Which is fair.
The tracer's not getting a very good signal. She's going to go try and see if she can figure out what's going on with it. So she goes to look around. And then there's a swamp boat. And you were very excited about the swamp boat.
No, I'm laughing because I saw your notes that says bus driver music plays.
Well, it's not
bus driver. It's not bus driver. I don't even, what's the name of that song?
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's a song that is in imaginary places.
I think it's, I want to say.
It's a piece of classical music. Yeah. It has a name. I
think it's Bach, maybe?
I'm almost certain that's not right. Just because you said it and for no other reason.
Well, here's the easiest way to do it. We're looking this shit up. It is Bach. Fuck you.
Aw, man. All right. I'll take it back.
It is Badeneri.
What?
Badeneri. Badeneri. Orchestral Suite number 2 in B minor.
All right.
By J.S. Bach.
Or as we know it, Imaginary Places by Bus Driver. It literally took my brain a minute to realize that
it wasn't Bus Driver. But yeah, we hear that music and then we see that it is not score, it is diegetic.
Oh.
Big word.
Yeah.
The Doctor has cut a reed out of the swamp grass and is
playing a little bit of Bach.
Yeah, he's playing it on, which his fingers and mouth blowing do not match up to the music. But
it's fine.
So we see two boats go out. We see the refinery boat people go out. They're looking for Ramdut. Then we see these other like canoe type boats that have swampies in it, and this guy who looks like he just escaped from Jurassic Park. He's got that like hunter hat. He looks like Crocodile Dundee or something. Romana gets grabbed by some swampies and taken to the boat with Ramdut. Meanwhile,
the real one. I specified the real one, because later they think it's the doctor.
Well, they think it's the doctor right now. Finner sees him, the doctor just standing up on this hill, and just shoots him. And he's like, got him! The doctor just goes right down. And they go over to get it, and then Fawn's like, that's not Ram Dutt. He's like, what? But he has this hat you talked about.
You specifically talked about this hat.
The doctor's like, well, you got the hat, but you didn't get me. And he stands up. He's like, I'm fine, but I'm also not this Ram Dutt. I'm the doctor.
But you did shoot my hat. And that makes me really angry.
And then they take him away. So this is the Shrek part. Romana is being questioned. She's like had her hands tied up and Ram Dutt's like questioning her and thinks she's spying on him or something or with the refinery people. He basically keeps asking, what are you doing in my swamp?
That was awful, first of all. Second of all, you spit on my mouth.
What are you doing in my swamp? What are you doing in my swamp? What are you doing in my swamp?
What's happening?
You know, that classic Shrek line. What are you doing in my swamp? Swamp. Are you okay?
So, anyway.
What are you doing in my swamp?
Oh my god. Deaf in that ear now.
Sorry. And she's like, I ain't doing shit in your swamp. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
I just got here.
And then they kiss and she turns into an ogre. He is like really like handsy with her and it makes me uncomfortable.
Same.
Meanwhile, the doctor is also being questioned by the refinery people and they say he is in the middle of a classified project. They've taken him to the refinery at this point.
And the doctor is just like, oh, you mean you're doing this with that over there?
Like, how did you even know?
Proceeds to just drop a bunch of refinery knowledge on him.
I'm like, this is the first of its kind. He's like, well, it's real basic. I've seen way better. He's
in
like,
this galaxy, maybe it is.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, why don't you put the refrigerator in the carbon
rod hole? Why
don't you
reverse the polarity of the flux capacitor?
You'd get twice the input or output. Both! I'm like, that's a great idea. Why didn't we ever think of
that? He's a genius!
It's like, no, I just read it from the script. So yes, Ram Dutt does indeed sell some guns to the Swampies. There's like a very long scene where they just discuss the paperwork. Because he's like, I need you to sign this paper. And they're like, why? Like, we don't do that. He's like, but I need it to show it to the other people. And they're like, you know, as proof. And they're like, why? Did they think you're a liar?
They're like, oh, I get it. They don't trust you.
He's like, no, it's just, this is how it works. Spoilers, though. He was not hired by Sons of Earth. We'll find out who he's hired by.
Later.
And they're like, okay, cool, thanks for the guns. We're also going to sacrifice Romana, because that's how we roll.
They need to ensure that they'll have victory when they use the guns later.
And their leader, Ranquin, decides that this is going to happen. Pretty sure he's been in Doctor Who before as well, but I don't remember as who, and it's not important. In the next scene, we go back to the refinery. I don't know what happens, but we learn that the dudes are hella racist, because they're like, there's four people here, and the doctor's like, five. And they're like, oh, you counted Minch. He's like, he doesn't count? No. But we also Tony noticed something that I didn't notice.
What's that? I don't remember.
The doctor has duck pins.
They're amazing! Oh my gosh! Okay, first of all, the Wikipedia, when we looked it up, said it was the first appearance, right? Mm-hmm. So they're coming back. Good. I'm very excited about the development of these duck pins.
I mean, I don't know if they come back or not. I was agreeing with you.
Oh. No, I was trying to remember. I feel like you looked it up on Wikipedia and you're like, this is the first appearance. First appearance to me means I get to see these duck pins again. They're great. I knew about Six's kittens pins. I didn't know about the duck pins. And I feel like this has been kept from me.
How dare you?
I feel like these duck pins should be a much bigger deal.
Well,
I'm going to start the Fourth Doctor duck pin fandom.
You see there's kitten pins?
Yeah.
So what animal pins should 13 have in the next season?
What animal pins?
Alpaca!
That would be cute. I feel like, yeah, like something like an ostrich.
Penguin.
No, not a penguin.
Spider monkeys.
It's just spiders.
It's just squirrels.
I like squirrels, yeah.
Write in to the Watchathon of Rassilon and tell us what animal you think the 13th Doctor should have as a pen.
Dolphins!
Ooh. I should.
Savages, right?
I laughed and then I went, ooh.
But why?
You know what? Maybe I shouldn't have had so much to drink before we recorded this podcast. I'm like zony. I was like, this will get me through this slog, but it's really just making me want to sleep. What happens next? The green guys put on a, perform a ritual chant, which is just stomp, stomp, stomp. Krull! Stomp, stomp, stomp. Krull!
For like an hour.
Krull! Like,
they like cut back and forth between other scenes and they're still just stomping. And I'm like, are you going to kill her or what?
And then there's a bit where they, yeah, because
if you're
going to
kill her, just do it.
They've tied her up behind this, like, King Kong gate. They keep chanting, and they're not doing anything. There is a bit where they do get faster, or instead of stomp, 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 crawl. It's like, stomp, crawl, stomp, crawl, stomp, crawl. Crawl, 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 crawl. There's also, like, a weird flame burst that shoots up in the sky, and they're like, oh, that's the refinery doing the thing. Oh, I hate that. Anyway, it won't become important until the very last episode, and also tacks on an unnecessary ending. But it's set up here, and I don't know what it's about. I think it's like venting something. I don't remember.
I don't either.
Anyway, they're summoning Krull. The doctor hears the Krull call from the refinery. Thon, the leader of the refinery guys, wants to take out the green guys and says, you know, we can do it legally because they'll have guns. And
so we
be
can
like,
just
hey,
claim self-defense.
Even if it's not.
Hmm.
And then the doctor sneaks out. Romana is not impressed with the ritual because it's A, taking forever, and B, is boring. And she's also like, it's this religious mumbo jumbo bullshit. And then Krull arrives and starts snapping at her face. Clamp, 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 clamp. And that's the cliffhanger, is the clamps in the face. It's the end of episode one. We are now into episode two, which I have called The Book of Krull.
Is that a reference?
There's a book in it of Krull. Do you not remember it?
I do. I didn't know if it was like a double meaning or a reference or a pun.
No.
It being just the one thing seems kind of lazy.
It's a play on the Book of Job.
Is it?
It's a play on the Book of Job. I couldn't think of another book of the Bible.
Is there any of them?
Is there any that rhymes with Krull?
I'll just let you go through all the books of the Bible.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings.
Are these all in order?
Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. I think it's in order. I used to know them all in order.
How many books of the Bible are there?
I don't know. 365. No, that's...
all right.
There's at least 9.
Let's focus up here.
All right, Matthew, Mark,
no, no, no.
Luke, John, Paul, Ringo.
Focus up!
Okay, guess what? It's not Krull. It's one of the green guys in a hat. A mushroom hat. Also, fun fact, this character's name is Skart.
Disgusting.
Skart sounds like something you accidentally do in your pants. Skart.
Gross.
The doctor knocks him out and frees Romana, and he throws a knife at them really poorly and then runs away. Skart does. Like, it's really bad.
Most Skarts are. Nobody ever Skarts on purpose.
Then the scanner picks up some weird bagel readings. I don't know what he was saying.
I don't know either, because I also could only hear the word bagel.
There's something big in the bagel area.
Every time I was like, bagels? Bagels.
Yeah, and it's a big bagel, apparently. It's huge.
It's just a huge bagel.
I think it's the bay something area, maybe. I don't know. This is so much filler. Okay, so...
just like an example, you have a note that says, Romana lost the tracer, but the doctor found it. That was a whole scene.
Yeah.
It was Romana being like, oh no!
I dropped the tracer when it... She dropped the tracer when she was caught by the Swampies. And then the doctor found it on his way there. So...
but like, a whole
who gives
scene
a shit?
That did nothing. Thank you.
Then they talk about the refinery. It's producing a lot of protein for some reason.
More protein than it should be able to produce.
What's that about?
I don't remember. I'll remember when we get to it in your notes.
I don't think it's in my notes. I don't know why they're making a lot of protein.
I mean, they're making it because they're making it for, like, the colonies and shit. They're making it for people to eat. That's what protein's for.
Right, but there's more than there should be? Why?
No, no, no. They're what? Producing. They're producing more than, like, the refinery should be capable of.
Okay. And why is that?
So people can eat it!
No, how is that?
Oh, how? I don't remember. Has something to do with...
Krull?
Something.
Okay.
Yeah, it does have something to do with Krull, but I don't remember why.
There's going to be somebody on YouTube who's going to leave a comment on this and be like, well, the reason is... And I will say thank you when that happens. Or be like, yeah, I still don't really care. This is a bad cereal. Let's just stop. I'm done.
Come on now.
All right.
We do this podcast. This is an episode of Doctor Who. We said we would watch every episode of Doctor Who. This is one of those episodes. You gotta get through this. Come on
this
now.
This is the way you were with that one that didn't have the Doctor in it, that prequel to the Dalek Master Plan.
Well, yeah, because
Mission to the Unknown.
That wasn't really a whole serial.
It was an episode.
Should have done it with...
Well, that wouldn't have made sense because it came before it. There was that one, then there was a whole other serial, then the Dalek's Master Plan.
Well...
We're going in order. That's also our mission statement.
Whose fault is that?
Verity Lambert. Okay, so Romana tells the Doctor that the green guys have guns, and the Doctor wonders who's paying for them. I mean, we've gotten all this in other...
We already know. This is not new information.
This is not new information. And they find an underground passage, and Romana says she hates underground passages.
Which is fair.
And the Doctor says, me too, which is bullshit. He fucking loves underground passages. Robert Holmes... Get your shit together. Then the refinery guys realize that the Doctor is missing and that they're like, maybe he's connected to the bagel problem.
Maybe he's gone and eaten all of our bagels. That's the protein that they're producing. It's just so many bagels.
Are bagels a good source of protein?
No. They don't have any protein in them. That's the problem.
They're meat bagels.
Ugh. Meat bagels.
And they're like, yeah, he probably is. And that's when they call him a swampy lover. So they are suspicious of the Doctor. Here's the thing I don't like about this serial. There are literally zero characters who are sympathetic. I don't care about a single fucking character in this thing. I mean, the Doctor and Romana I like. But everybody else, the refinery guys are all dicks. Even the one who's not a dick's not great. All of the green guys are dicks trying to kill him. Like, who are you supposed to root for?
I think you're supposed to root for the green guys, the Jolly Green Giants.
Why? They just tried to kill Romana, and they're going to keep trying to kill him. What? They just bought guns.
Because, the other people are invaders, and they just live there.
Well, the Doctor and Romana aren't.
I
don't care for anybody in this serial. They're all dicks.
Very grumpy.
I don't like this one. So, they crawl into this underground passage and they come back up. We don't actually see him in the passage. But, conveniently, the Doctor finds the giant holy book.
That was just chilling out in the underground passage, I guess.
It's got some rad-ass illustrations of a giant squid creature. Apparently, Krall has appeared 3 times before. It's a cycle thing. He sleeps and then he wakes and he...
For like centuries or thousands of years or something like that. Some real big amount of time.
Apparently he's huge. He ate one of the priests at one point. And he's like, anyway, that's some exposition about Krall. And drops the book back into the hole. That's what that scene was about. A lot of that just happens. It's like, let's just take this scene to just explain some exposition and then move on. There's a lot of like easy shortcuts too. Like that was an easy shortcut. We found a random book. Read from it, went, okay, and moved on. And there'll be more of those, like, and then they just, it's fixed. Move
how
on.
How much time did they give him to write this?
I don't know.
Not enough.
Not enough. There's a whole thing about Skart's gonna put some blood on the sacrificial stone to keep up appearances.
Because Romana got away.
Yeah.
And they're like, just throw some blood on it, and they'll assume that the sacrifice went as planned.
It's the second serial this season that's about bloodstones. And stones of blood. The refinery guys show up. One of the green guys tries to shoot him, but his gun backfires because the guns are kind of shitty.
All the guns are shitty.
And it kills him instead. I totally misread this thing because it was edited poorly. There's actually a handful of things that are edited really poorly that I was like, I'm not sure what happened there. And then I was reading the Wikipedia and I was like, oh, okay.
What did you think happened?
I thought one of the refinery guys shot him back or something. I don't know. It was weirdly cut. He shot, and then it did a close-up of his face going, ah! And then back to the wide shot, and it was, like, confusing. They do that a couple of times in this serial, where they just cut to close-ups of things that they didn't need to cut to close-ups of. And then Krall grabs Minch. A giant tentacle arm wraps around, because Minch, the servant, the green servant guy, was grabbing one of the boats, and a tentacle wraps around him and pulls him under the water. And we see Krall, and he's fucking huge.
Krall is without a doubt the best fucking part of this entire serial. He is amazing.
He's just this big floating eyeball brain thing with tentacles.
Is it? What is it? Is it like a puppet sort of deal?
Yeah, I think it's stop motion or something. Well, every time they show it, they've clearly done like a split screen where it's like the grass or the sea or the horizon, and he's rising up above the horizon, or he's rising up over a wall. It's always a very straight cut. In fact, there's a bit where the green guys run up and one of their tops of their head is cut off because they've not gone to the right spot.
Without
but
a doubt.
Looks cool.
Yeah, the best part of, like, the highlight of the serial is the design of this creature. So, hey, he met one of his directives.
Well, he met both of them. He made it not funny.
That's true. It's just that it being good wasn't one of the requirements. Being at all fun or enjoyable to watch wasn't necessary.
There's a couple of things that are okay in this, but for the most part, it is shit. So, the Dr. and Romana get grabbed by the green guys, and they're going to... They're like, you fucked up our ritual, and we're going to execute you for that. They're going to execute Ram Dutt for the faulty weapons as well. They're going to get one of the 7 death rituals.
This is actually my favorite scene, because it's almost like a joke. What's the name of the green guy who's kind of, like, sympathetic towards him? Does he get a name?
I don't really know.
Well, there's one who's kind of like, I tried, there's 7 death rituals, and I'm going to advocate for you guys and try to get you one of the easier deaths. And they're like, okay, great, thanks. They end up getting number 7, which is the worst one.
He's like, the first one is just, we drop you in a hole and drop rocks on you.
So I tried to tell him that you guys deserved just the first one. It's the quickest. And they're like, oh, thank you. Like, genuinely, like, thanks.
I do like, though, that they say, what's the first ritual? And he's like, you get put in a pit and they drop rocks on you.
His delivery of that is, like, amazing.
There's also a bit where, like, Romana's like, 7 death rituals? What do you think they are? And the doctor, like, lists off, like, you know, he, like, lists 3 things. And one of them is ridiculous. And then there's a pause and she goes, that's only 3. So, Thawne, meanwhile, has, like, we got to blow up this giant Krull thing, where Fenrir's like, we should poison it instead, because we don't know if bombs will work or whatever. And Thawne's like, no, we're going to blow it up. There's a whole big debate about this for, like, ever, about how they're going to take out Krull. And Thawne's always just like, blow it up, blow it up, blow it up. And then Harg, the red shirt refinery guy's like, I'm going to go check the pipes. And then a tentacle bursts through and grabs him.
And he dies. And that's fulfilling his only purpose in the script. Okay.
It's really cool, though, like, him getting pulled through the pipe. Like, you see him go, ah! And then his little feet just go, whoop, through the pipe. And I'm like, oh, nice.
It's definitely effective. It's definitely an effective scene.
But it's a character I don't care about dying, and that's the cliffhanger. Well, that's the end of episode 2. We're now into episode 3, which I've called The Storm of Krull. Also, not only were these scripts humorless and rushed, I think they were also short.
Yeah.
These episodes have the longest recaps. Like, I think it's like a minute, at least like a solid minute and a half to 2 minutes of recap footage at the beginning of this episode and the next one. Because the scripts were just really short. But we see the Doctor and Romana and Ram Dutt, which is actually not a bad name, Ram Dutt, are tied with vines to these pallets. And this is the slowest ritual. And the Doctor complains about a window up above him. He's like, this is a terribly designed window.
He's babbling about architecture for like 20 minutes and about how that window shouldn't be there.
They should have fired
the decorator. The architect is the one who should be getting the final death treatment.
And I read something on the Wikipedia. I was like, this was ironic considering the person who designed this set got criticized for how shitty the set looked and was never used again. Like, he was basically fired because of this terrible set.
Because of the set?
Yeah.
Was the set terrible?
Do you remember it?
No.
It's boring as hell. It's just like, it looks like a cave wall, and there's some torches, and there's pallets with vines on them, and there's a window above them, but that's clearly a different shot. The reason for the window is the sun dries up the vines, and then the stretches, and they like shrink up and pull them apart.
You did a terrible job explaining them.
The sun dries the vines that are wrapped around their arms and feet, and then
that shrinks the vines, and that stretches them, apart.
It actually looks really nice. I don't know what they're complaining about. I'd like somebody to stretch me out.
Right? I just need... Do you remember? I'm not around any small children anymore, but they're the right size to, like, walk on your back. I say that as, like, being... Formerly being the small child who walked on my mom's back.
I don't know if I ever walked on my parents' back. That's weird.
And pops it really good. I don't know what to tell you. When you're, like, probably, like, 4 or 5, you're, like, just the right weight.
Your mom walked on your back when you were 5?
No, I walked on her back.
Oh.
I was about to say, that's abuse.
Let's cut all this out. Never mind.
So the green guys are like, they leave because this is unpleasant to watch.
They're not savages.
And the doctor's like, it's even more unpleasant to experience. But the doctor's like, hey, come here, though. Come here, Ranquin, before you leave. Tell me, what's the power of Krull? He's like, you can see the future? And that doesn't go anywhere.
Or make any sense.
But then we find out, like, he's like, anyway, I'm gonna leave you guys. And the doctor's like, damn it! His eyes were too narrow. And they're like, what? And he's like, I was trying to hypnotize him. And it failed, because he's got some narrow eyes.
That feels messed up.
That feels racist, right? Ramdutt says that Thawne paid for the guns, not the Sons of Earth. It was Thawne.
He paid for them. He needed an excuse to be able to annihilate them, basically.
Yeah, and he was going to blame the Sons of Earth for it. Now, take out two birds with one stone.
That we haven't really mentioned, which is, because it's not super important. The planet, these are not native people to this planet. They actually got moved to this planet from another one because...
This is actually a moon, I think.
That's right. They got moved to the moon of that of the planet they were on because the planet they were on had some resources, and so, like, everybody came in, took over the planet, and they basically moved them to this reservation moon, and then it turns out that the moon had good stuff on it, too, so now they're trying to kick them off the moon. So, like, they've already been moved off of their home planet at this point.
I have to say, like, the plot isn't necessarily bad. Like, Thawne's plan's a solid plan. He hires this guy to give them guns so that they have an excuse to go take him out, and blames the Sons of Earth, which he has a problem with. If they can confirm that the Sons of Earth bought the guns, then that's killing two birds with one stone. That's not a bad plan. It's just that it's so boring. Also, you never see the Sons of Earth. Ever. Like, having them be a part of this plot feels weird, considering they're not in it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's an electrical storm that happens, very coincidentally, and what we need to solve this slow ritual death that we're in. Then the doctor's like, oh yeah, it's raining, this is good, and makes a noise that no human being can make. He just goes, aah! And then they're like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, oh man, I should do it a pitch higher. Aah! But it's like, it's clearly like done in post. It's like some electronic noise.
But he
shatters the
window.
And then it rains on them and then wets the vines and then they can take them off. Problem solved.
I guess.
What would they have done if there had been no storm?
Died.
They're just like up onto their vine arms. There's a good joke where they get loose and then Romana's like, my nose itched the entire time I was down there and now that we're free, gone.
What does she say? She's like, it's just a perfect example of how it was totally psychosomatic. It was just anxiety of being about to die.
So the doctor and Romana and Ramdutt jump through some swamp, followed by the green guys. And then Ramdutt gets grabbed by Krull's tentacles. And the doctor and Romana are just like, oh, sad. Anyway, let's go. The doctor's also, I believe, at this point, deduced that Krull operates on vibration. Like, it tracks vibration.
That's how it hunts, but there's a really dumb line here where the doctor's like, vegetarian, of course, but over the years it's decided to just fucking eat people? Because that's how it works?
I guess. Protein. And then the doctor and Romana take a boat, and Krull appears on the horizon, and everyone freaks out. Cliffhanger is the end of episode 3. Like, did you see how fast we got through that episode? Because fucking nothing happened. We are now into episode 4, which I've called Make Some Noise.
Okay.
They wait it out. They sit in the boat being very still. And then the Tyrannosaurus Rex just walks on past them. This is the second Jurassic Park reference I've made.
Never seen those movies.
You've seen the first one.
I've never seen those movies.
We watched it in the theater together.
Was it good? Did I like it?
You were like, oh, this is good. I see why people like it.
That sounds like me.
We watched it in, like, 3D, I think.
There was dinosaurs in it, right?
Yep.
And a jeep, I think.
Yep. and a kid getting electrocuted by a fence.
And at some point there goes, was both dinosaurs and a Jeep at the same time. Jeff Goldblum. I remember
Jeff
that.
Jeff Goldblum. And also, Woman Inherits the Earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are we doing?
We're talking about Jurassic Park. Come on. Kroll attacks the green guy's settlement, which confuses them, because they thought Kroll was their bud.
Kroll's supposed to be like their god and shit.
And then Thon
your
is...
Your god's not supposed to fuck up your whole entire shit.
But he does.
Sometimes it's like that.
Ranquin keeps, like, coming up with bullshit reasons, and, like, is just resolute in his faith. Thon continues to, like, I'm gonna blow up Kroll and the settlement. Maybe ourselves. I think this is tied in with the flame burst thing from earlier. It's some sort of orbit thing that he redirects. I don't entirely understand it, but he's like redirecting it.
I could probably explain it to you if I cared enough to have listened in the first place.
Right. He's redirecting some energy to blow up Kroll. That's the gist of it. The Doctor and Romana get to the refinery. Finner and I'm just going to call him K-9 because I don't know how to pronounce his name. Not K-9. That's what I'll call him. Not K-9. Finner and Not K-9 try to stop Thon, but Thon knocks out Not K-9.
Knocks out? I thought he shot him.
He hits him over the head first.
Oh, okay.
He's like, you will not stop me.
Well, now K-9, Not K-9 is the one who kind of has like the little monologue-y bit about like, the sons of Earth are right. All life comes from Earth and all life is important. And I was kind of like, you haven't given a shit this whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Not one time. And I was kind of like, is he going to be like, I am from the sons of Earth and I've been here this whole time? No.
Well, that's actually something Thon says, is like, you are from the Sons of Earth, and like, knocks him out, even though he's not.
He just has an opinion he never said out loud before. Honestly, though, fair, me too.
Yeah, I keep my
if I just
politics
stood
to myself
up at
work
and started talking about my politics, everyone would be like, what the fuck? So, you know what?
I've come close to saying some things recently, but that's neither here nor there.
We do not have time to get into all that.
They think that the Kroll is somehow doing something with the Doctor, so they're following the Doctor to the refinery. The green guys. The Doctor goes into the silo to stop something. The thing that's going to fire and destroy everything. Then K-9 crawls across the floor. Not K-9, rather. Crawls across the floor. Hits a button to stop it.
Which is a big, you know.
Big red panic button.
Yeah.
And then that's when he gets shot in the back. And we're supposed to go, oh no!
But we don't, because we don't care about this character, because we don't really know him. The only thing they've done is sat and read a scanner.
And it doesn't even work. The countdown keeps going on. But it's okay. The Doctor hits it with a hammer. Literally. He hits a box with a hammer, and it stops it.
And
he's
then
like,
it's over.
He's like, I fixed it. And then he fucking falls off the ladder. And then Kroll sinks away. This is actually a scene that I kind of liked. He's kind of underplaying this scene, but in a way that actually works, I think. Philip Maddock. Finner is like, I'm going to report you for murder. Like, he's, like, very understatedly pissed off.
Yeah, this is kind of nice.
He's like, you straight up murdered him. Like, he's like, well, he was probably with the Sons of Earth. And he's like, you don't kill someone for something you think. You had no proof. Once this is all over, I am reporting you for murder. And he's like, just low-key, really angry. And I was like, this is the only scene that I'm like, you're actually doing something dramatic here. But Romana wakes up the Doctor, who's been out for a little while, and he's like, oh, well, we gotta get out of here. It's gonna look bad that if we're in here in the silo and they catch us here, they're gonna put two and two together. And they open the door, and like, Thon is there with a gun. He's like, oh, that look on your face. You're putting two and two together. That was funny.
See, that's the thing. The best parts of this serial are, like, the one or two jokes. I mean, that and
the
Kroll.
Kroll. Yeah.
Yeah, those are, like, the highlights of the serial. So the fact that it was, you know, there was a directive that was like, hey, keep all the humor out.
The only bits that work is the funny bits.
Are the funny parts. Those are the only bits that work. So such a bad choice.
So the green guys get in the refinery. One of them questions, I think it's Scott, questions their religion. And Ranquin is just like, nah. Believe.
Faith is good.
Yeah. Now the rest of the green guys are kind of like, I don't know. And then they charge in and Thon gets a fucking spear through the chest and dies. He's taken care of really abruptly. Like, if you had blinked, you would have missed his death scene. That's how quick it happened.
Did.
He's just like, I don't know. Whoa! And there's like a spear through his chest and he falls down. And then the green guys rush the control room. But then Kroll hugs the refinery. Which, can we talk about that for a second?
What?
the refinery.
Oh, God. The establishing shot of the refinery?
Yeah, it took me a long time to realize that's what it was.
They kept cutting to this shot, and I was like, what is that?
It's like a tiny little thing in the water.
Yeah, and I'm like, I know it's supposed to be an establishing shot, I think. And plus, it's like a model, so you're also like...
Well, I thought it was like a piece of equipment.
Yes. Like a singular piece. And it doesn't look like anything, right? So there's nothing to tell you like, oh, that's a building. It's like some shit in the water. And you're like, what is that? I don't know. I've never seen any refineries. So maybe it looks like something.
Maybe. I don't know.
But to me, it just looked like a pile of stuff over the water. And so, and it's a model. So it's also really small. So you're like, yeah, is it
there's
some
nothing
equipment?
For scale either, so.
Yeah. I just had no, and, you know, they would cut to the shot periodically, and I was like, what is that? And I think it wasn't until, like, literally the last episode of the serial that Joe was like, that's the exterior of the refinery. And I was like, oh, you're right, it is. So we had no idea what that shot was supposed to be accomplishing. At all.
Literally nothing. Just establishing the location.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kroll like climbs up on top of it. And I think I was like, yeah, see, now here's some scale. We know Kroll is huge, so.
Now we understand what this is supposed to be.
And then Rankin starts praying to Kroll. Romano wanders off, almost gets hit by a tentacle. And then the doctor tells Fenner to make some noise, like I said. And that will disorient Kroll because it's like all vibrations and stuff. So they put out all the alarms and stuff. Kroll's like, oh, this song sucks. And then sinks back into the water. And Rankin's like, nailed it. Prayer works. But then he finds a tentacle inside that pipe, the one that killed Harg. And he goes and talks to it. And he's like, hey, will you kill these? Well, he has a racial slur for them as well.
Dry feet.
Yeah. He's like, will you kill these dry feet? Or dry foots?
I don't know.
Either way, he's like, kill them. And I love you, Kroll. If you love me, you will kill these people. And then the tentacle grabs him and rips him through the pipe. Kills Rankin.
Because Kroll is just a meanie.
Well, yeah, he's so huge. Like, to them, they're like ants. To Kroll, they're like ants. They're very small.
They're like snacks.
Yeah. He's not a...
They're like shrimp.
Kroll's not actually a god or like super intelligent or anything. He's just, just a creature.
Not really.
Not really. Well, yeah.
Kroll, there's definitely something that is special about Kroll.
Yeah, that's true. The doctor goes to face Kroll. Kroll, like, it's wrapped back around the thing again. Kroll knocks the tracer out of the doctor's hands and grabs the doctor. The doctor's reaching out for the tracer. And then he jams it into Kroll. Kroll goes zzz, zzz, zzz. There's, like, I don't know, special effects all around him. And he disappears. And the doctor sits up and he's got a key piece on the tracer.
That's what was special about Kroll.
Kroll was not the piece, though. It augmented. It made him huge.
Yeah.
Because when he ate that priest, the priest had the piece. And so...
The priest had the piece.
The priest had the piece, and when the Kroll ate the priest, it ate the piece, and it made Kroll huge.
It had...
Even bigger,
time key powers.
Yeah.
That's what it was called. It was called, like, they called it the Seal of Kroll or something like that.
Yeah.
And he ate the Seal of Kroll. That's why when the doctor is like, did the Seal of Kroll let you see, like, the future or whatever? Did it give you time powers? Because it's a key to time. So, like, that was actually important, kind of.
Or something. Important, but dull. You would think that this is the end. Romana adorably wraps the doctor back up in his scarf. He comes in and she swings it around him. It's real cute. And then we're like, oh, the refinery's still going to explode. The countdown's still going on. Oh no! Because of that whole fucking thing I was talking about earlier with the flame bursts and all that shit.
But then the doctor stops it, so it's fine.
Yeah, what gets me about it, though, is the doctor, like, pulls some, like, wires out from underneath. He's like, I don't know if it's going to work. And he, like, jams them together. But the countdown reaches zero. It stops on zero. Not on one, on zero. Do you not know how a fucking countdown works? Zero means too late. It's done. It wasn't 0.1. It was zero. That's too late. Anyway, it bugged me.
You okay?
The refinery should have blown up and just wiped this serial out of existence.
You're mad that everyone didn't die a fiery death in this serial?
Yeah. So the doctor's like, Well, Fenrir was like, well, what do we do now? And he's like, learn the green guy's culture, some shit. You guys get along. Bye. I'm out. I don't want to.
I'm also bored of this cereal.
And like the green guys like sort of circle around Fenrir and stare at him menacingly. And he just stands there looking bored. Like, is it over yet? Can I just get my paycheck and leave? And then they look for the TARDIS. They find a tiny little squid, which used to be Krull. And they get out. They find the TARDIS and they're like.
And then mercifully, finally.
And the doctor's like, back, canine, back.
Thankfully, this cereal is over.
That's the end of the Krull show. The Krull show is a show that was on TV starring Nick Krull.
In what century?
Like this one? Nick Krull. He's the non-Mulaney half of Oh Hello.
Oh.
Anyway, that's the end of this shit show. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with final thoughts.
We have to come back.
Yeah, we do. We gotta finish this.
No, I'm taking a nap.
Be back.
You do final thoughts without me.
Nope. We'll be right back.
Do you like scary movies? Well, we do too.
That's why the Spooky Dudes are talking horror movies every single week.
We discuss the latest in horror news and review a different film in each episode.
We'll bring you our opinions on the classics, the new stuff, and a little bit of everything in between.
So if you enjoy horror movies and lighthearted, fun discussions, check us out, the Spooky Dudes Podcast, right here on the ESO Podcast Network.
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is? If you want to be done with this, you got to do it. Do you know what time it is?
I can't see the clock.
No, but you know what time it is. What time is it?
You're right. I know that it's 8:52.
Oh, God.
I did not need the clock to tell you that it was
8:52. I
want to
be out. I want to be out of this. Please, what time is it?
You know what time it is?
What time is it?
Time is actually really an illusion and doesn't mean anything.
What is this section of the podcast that we do?
The end, I think.
Before the end.
Honestly, at this point, I've always been, like, way zoned out.
I'm gonna strangle you with a Krull tentacle. Tell me, what time is it?
You know what they say?
What?
If you want something done right.
Oh my God, it's time for final thoughts!
You should do yourself.
Final thoughts!
Hey, Tony, what are your final thoughts?
It's time for final thoughts!
I'm sorry I hate you so much. Just tell me your final thoughts. Please.
Final thoughts!
I think my final thoughts are pretty apparent.
You loved it.
Yeah, this is my absolute favorite. I always think about the time that Andrew said that, like, it sounds like we do that all the time on the podcast. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan. This whole serial was clearly very rushed. I think it's a testament to, you know, first drafts and how sometimes things need a rewrite. There's obviously really good ideas here. And they just didn't have time to work them into something really strong. The design of Krull is really great. It's a shame that it's not attached to a better story. There's stuff that I guess they were trying to talk about race and stuff, but it's just honestly kind of sloppy. And yeah, the story is very fillery. The highlights of this serial are all the small moments of humor that we get.
Oh, we didn't even mention one of them.
What's that?
Where she's being attacked by Krull, the guy in the hat. The doctor takes the hat off and then, like, she's like, oh, it looked really convincing. He's like, yeah, mate, you were just looking at it head on. Like, it felt like a direct comment on the cheap, shitty costumes.
Another bad thing. None of the characters were in any way memorable or, you know, do they care about them? So, yeah, but your writers have time for rewrites. I mean, I have been in like a crunch, so I totally get that when you're like, oh God, we gotta put something out, and then the episode that goes out isn't your best work, but it's fine because it aired. I've experienced that probably, so I get it, but it's not my favorite.
I agree. There was a lot that I was excited about when we started it. Like, it's a Robert Holmes. It's, I don't know, I was kind of excited to see John Leeson play someone who's not K-9, even though maybe John Leeson's kind of a dick in real life, I'm not sure.
I have heard that, but I don't remember from who.
I saw it on Tumblr, so I don't know. Either way, it could have been an interesting little, oh look, it's K-9 as another character. But it was so by the numbers. It was just like, It was a first draft. That's all it was. It was a first draft that was specifically written to be less humorous, and I think that was a bad idea. And it sucks because this season has been so good so far. Like, I've enjoyed all the serials up until this point, and then this one was just ugh. Like, it wasn't even that it was just okay. It was bad. It was bad. Like, this is probably the worst Fourth Doctor serial. I don't know if it's necessarily the worst serial. I'd have to think about
it. It's probably the worst of this season. Well,
this season's been good. I think it's probably the worst of the Fourth Doctor.
Damn, okay.
Well, can you think of a worse one?
No, but I also couldn't name specific episodes because that's not who I am.
So, it's not even, I don't know, it's not that it's like offensively bad. It's just that it's really dull and boring.
Like you said, by the numbers. So there's nothing that you're getting that's engaging you in any way. I've seen some part of this serial and every other serial.
Like, even you have Philip Maddock, who's amazing. He's just there. Just there. Anyway. Sorry. Sorry you guys had to listen to this. I guess that's it. Anything else we need to talk about before we go?
No, I'm gonna go lay down on the floor now.
You have any plugs? Unseen World? Watch it?
What? Please? 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 Please watch The Unseen World.
That's good, yo.
Follow us at See Unseen World on everything.
If you like this episode, you can check out more on WatchYourAssLine.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It does magic iTunes stuff. And Tony's on the floor, so she can't explain that. So it's just magic iTunes stuff. It helps us get recognized by iTunes superiors who will shower us with free chocolate. And
it helps us be seen. The more reviews we get on iTunes, the more other people see us when they search on iTunes for podcasts to watch. And iTunes is like, hey.
To watch?
iTunes is like, hey, here's one.
It also gives us the ability to have you guys actually watch the podcast.
Patrons can have that ability.
Yeah, let's talk about that. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourassalon.com/support. And there you will find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. There you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. We also have, if you are a Patreon patron at any level, you get access to our Discord server
where we talk about random shit we watch on TV
and cute animals. And you can do all that on our Patreon. Also, on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Bisexual Brigadier for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Bisexual Brigadier.
You can follow her on Tumblr at bisexualbrigadier.tumblr.com. I want to give another special shout out to Vincent E.L. for providing us with our theme song.
Thanks, Vince.
You can check out more of their stuff at swinglish.nu. And tune in next time when we talk about something we've already talked about. The Macro Terror. Our next episode will be our Hulanta episode. And then we'll be back to wrap up this.
We haven't talked about the animation yet.
Yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. Hulanta is talking about the Macro Terror animation. We're going to watch it there. And hopefully some of you guys will watch it with us. And then we will talk about it on the podcast with a whole bunch of guests. I don't even know who all is going to be on it yet. And then we'll be back after that to wrap up this fucking Key to Time season. We'll be back with the last of the Key to Times, the Armageddon Factor.
Should I explain why I'm on the floor?
You're tired. You died.
I said that I did a roller derby bout the day before, and like I'm so sore all over, and sitting on like a shitty office chair has destroyed me.
Oh, I just thought it was Kroll.
I mean, yeah. Talking about Kroll. Those two things combined, like, by the time we got to the end, I was like, I gotta pop my back. I gotta get myself a small child.
But, that's
probably not a thing I should record myself saying. Out of context.
I've got it forever now. But, that's it. Thanks for listening. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Or else.
Goodbye, and she loves you. I feel weird if you don't say it.
Goodbye, and I love you. But only you!
Crawl!
I'll try pitch higher.
What?
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.